Good evening. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. This evening, for a few moments, as we talked about this morning, we'll continue to talk about Thanksgiving. I've done something similar to this in the past. Nothing is ever the same. Even if you took the same lesson, it's never going to be the same. But it's been changed somewhat, and I wanted to share it. I'm a fan of acrostic, and so here we go with the word Thanksgiving. And you said, "Wow, it's a long word." Well, we're going to move quick. We're not going to dwell long on any one point. If you're at Psalm 100, through inspiration, we read these words. "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations." A beautiful psalm, the psalm of thanksgiving. "Praise the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever." Psalm 106, verse 1. We begin with a point that is obviously repeated time and time again, and for obvious reasons, but Thanksgiving should be timeless. Should be timeless, not just once a year. The Bible teaches in everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. In his letter to the Ephesians, Paul said, "Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ," Ephesians 5 and in verse 20. 1 Corinthians 1, 4 says, "I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus." The child of God is to give thanks, notice, for everything. And when you're giving thanks for everything, you're giving thanks under all circumstances. You're giving thanks whether things are good, and that's pretty easy when things are good, to be grateful and thankful. But we're also to be grateful for times of persecution. At James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 says, "Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Why? "Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." What purpose is that? "Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." When you're giving thanks for everything under all circumstances, yes, when it's good and when it's easy and when it's nice and pleasing, but yes, also in times of persecution and in times of adversity. What is Philippians 4, 6 says? "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your thanks, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." This, friends, as the text says, is the will of God. Second, thanksgiving should be heartfelt. The Bible emphasizes time and time again sincerity and genuineness. The covenant under which you and I live, the New Testament, continually stresses the importance of one's heart. What about Romans 6, verses 16 through 18? You have Paul the Apostle, who through inspiration says, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free, you became slaves of righteousness." As Paul was writing in reference to one's service, Ephesians 6, verse 6, he said, "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Doing the will of God from the heart. And you connect that, Ephesians 6:6. You connect that with what we read there in 1 Thessalonians 5 and in verse 18, in which we were informed that it is the will of God that we give thanks in everything. Here in Ephesians 6:6, we are instructed to do the will of God from the heart. So thanksgiving, when it is extended, when it is expressed, needs to be genuine, needs to be sincere, needs to be heartfelt. Number three, thanksgiving should be audible. Audible. In regardless of what is offered by way of entertainment or what individuals may claim to have, people are not mind readers. People are not mind readers, and we ought not to assume that people know that we're grateful. And you certainly don't want to be ungrateful. You don't want to be lazy in extending thanksgiving and gratitude. You don't want to be like the 9 lepers who, upon receiving a life-changing blessing, didn't take the time to turn back to the Lord and give Him thanks. Brethren and friends, God requires and He rewards the attitude of gratitude. That's pretty simple to remember. God requires and He rewards the attitude of gratitude. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 16, you know, I might say this as well. Sometimes we, in that idea of assumption, and don't assume that people know that you're grateful and thankful, we deceive ourselves into sometimes thinking, well, they can see by my nonverbal expressions and my gestures that I'm thankful. Don't assume that. Now, here in this letter that Paul writes to the Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, I know that it's not audible as far as verbal, but it is expressed in a written word here. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks to you or for you, making mention of you in prayer. The Ephesian brethren, they might have assumed that Paul was praying for them, that Paul was thankful for them. But Paul said, I'm not going to leave it to assumption. I'm going to write it. I'm going to tell you in written form that I am thankful for you always and that I make mention of you in every prayer. We need to express it, whether verbally or in words written. Thanksgiving should be expressed, number four, to those nearest to you. To those who are nearest to us, and that person who is nearest to us, that person may vary depending on your present situation, but for those of us who are married, our spouse should be the one nearest us. I like what we read in the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah, when you're talking about nearness, I'm going to actually move that back and talk about that in just a minute. But in Isaiah 55 and in verse 6, we're going to see something about nearness. When you talk about expressing thanksgiving to those who are nearest you and who that person is, if you're married, it ought to be your spouse. Well, words of kindness, words of love that are expressed between husbands and wives will certainly strengthen that marital bond and create within that marital union tremendous potential for success and long-lasting happiness. Scripture says, husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them, Colossians 2:19. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, Ephesians 5. And in verse 25, we are to provide for our wives, we are to protect our wives, and we are to be their spiritual rock But wives, what does it say? Submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Ephesians 5, 22 through 24. What are wives to husbands? Wives are to husbands a teammate. Wives are to husbands a helper. Wives are to husbands a source of encouragement. You know, when you think about where we were before we were married, we put forth our best. We did the extras. Sometimes along the way, we tend to lose that after the I do's. We need to bring that back into the marriage to strengthen that bond. Number five, thanksgiving and appreciation should be expressed to all our kin, all of our kin, and certainly from parents to their children. We talked about this morning how that the psalmist says they are a heritage from the Lord and a blessing, a reward in the womb, and how grateful and thankful we need to be for our children. Psalm 127 verses 3-5, but also from children to their parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise that it may be well with you and your life, and you may live long on the earth. Ephesians 6, verses 1-3. I think sometimes we read it and we overlook some things, but something that just always strikes to my attention is there in Ephesians 6:2, the fifth commandment is said to be the first with promise. And the fifth commandment, as you see and you're familiar with the Ten Commandments, the fifth commandment is said to be the first with promise. Now, obviously, the promise there in verse 3 can be considered a very general promise, very, very loosely tied to keeping all the commandments of God. But here it's specifically applied to children. Think about it. It's in the home where children are to learn right from wrong. It's in the home that children are to learn good from bad and truth from error. It's in the home that children are to understand that obedience is rewarded, but disobedience is punished, is disciplined. It's in the home where children are to learn to respect authority. But it says to children, obey your parents, for this is right. Honor them for this is the first command with promise. It's in the home that they are to receive this instruction. It's in the home that they are to receive this foundation, which will secure them and fasten them with the divine hope as they live their life. Parents, that means we can't forget Deuteronomy chapter 6. Look over there, Deuteronomy chapter 6. I know it's the Old Testament, and I know the Old Testament law was nailed to the cross. I know that it no longer has religious authority today, but I also know, based upon Romans 15, verse 4, that whatsoever things were written for our before time were written for our learning. So what can we learn? I love how it's penned by Moses through inspiration in Deuteronomy 6, beginning there in verse 6. These words which I command you today, what words? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Verse 5. These words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Parents, we can't forget about that instruction. If it's in the home that the children are to receive this instruction, this nurturing, this admonition, then parents, we can't drop the ball in regard to our responsibilities and obligations to teach them the truth. What does the evidence show when when training isn't in the home what it ought to be? What are the results? Look all around us. And ultimately, what was the last thing I said? In the home is where we're to learn respect for authority. A lot of homes are raising their children to have no respect for authority. And we are seeing that everywhere. You'll also notice that there's a distinct change in the instruction. Back to Ephesians, between verse 1 and verse 2. Verse 2, it does not say, obey your father and mother. Say, obey your parents, but it says, honor your father and mother, right? It said, no, it'll say, obey your father and mother. And why is that? Well, brethren, it's because honoring not only includes obedience, but it goes beyond it. When it comes to obedience, obedience can be rendered in a disrespectful way. I can obey you because you're bigger than me. I can obey you because you're my mom. I can obey you because you're my dad. So obedience here can be in a resentful manner. That's not what it says. It says honor, which includes the obedience. But honor what is requiring admiration, respect. Children are to honor their parents because of their sacrifices, because of their gifts, because of their provisions, because of their guidance, because of their support, and so on and so forth. Number 6, thanksgiving should be felt and when possible, expressed to society. Expressed to society, and society made up of, friends and just the entirety of the nation. But as far as friends, we talked about it this morning, we should take hold of every opportunity and to express our thanksgiving to our friends, to those who are close and those who are willing to give us the constructive criticism that we need and for those who are willing to help make us better and better prepared for our heavenly reward. Give thanks for those friends. It could be said, it could be through a simple expression of appreciation. And who knows if that friend, that good friend of yours that is not a member of the church, just a friendly gesture of appreciation may open a door for study. They may be your friend, but if you're a friend of them, you're going to make sure that they're on the path to heaven above. In Paul's letter to the Galatians, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith, Galatians 6:10. Now, to the nation, in spite of its many faults, we've said it before, we'll say it again, our nation is still the greatest, and it has the best government in all the world. And we are to express our appreciation to the leaders of our land. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul, through inspiration, tells the young preacher Timothy as he's preaching and teaching and he's engaged in the ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said this. Notice over in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verses 1 through 3. He said, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and what? Giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. What is he saying here? He's saying, yeah, we pray for them, and what is our prayer? Our prayer is that we may live a godly life, yes, but what does it also say? Express thanksgiving for them. We're instructed to express our thanksgiving in prayer. Pray that the leaders of our land make decisions that bring our nation back to the Bible and lead us in the paths of righteousness. Thanksgiving, number 7, should be expressed obviously to God. Each and every day and all throughout the day. Thanksgiving to God. Psalm 50 verse 14, offer to God thanksgiving. And that ought to be easy when we consider that He is the giver of all good and perfect gifts. James chapter 1 and in verse 17. That ought to be easy when we know that His blessings are new every morning. Lamentations chapter 3 and in verse 23. As we start out each day, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the will of God. Number 8, thanksgiving should be offered for the increase that we might have, for the increase in material things. Remember that we have what we have. We are who we are. Everything is because of God. And when it comes to things and when it comes to possessions, we're mere managers of God's possession. Psalm 24:1, and we also see that in 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2. In Matthew we learn, if we continue to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, Matthew 6:33, that God will see to it that we have the physical necessities of life. While we eat, what we drink, and what we wear, He will take care of us providentially in a material way if we are truly, from the heart, sincerely, faithfully seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What did Paul say? He said, my God, he had full confidence in my God shall supply all your need according to the riches and glory by Christ Jesus, Philippians 4 and in verse 19. But obviously with material blessings is the obligation to keep them within a proper perspective. For what will it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Mark 8, verses 36 and 37. Brother Jason, time and time again, maybe even Brother Brant Stubblefield, talked a little bit about this. But in regard to a proper attitude toward those physical blessings, Jesus said that we brought nothing into this world and we're going to carry nothing out. He also said that, and that's in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 7, he said, what is your life? It does not consist in the things that you possess. Possessions aren't what makes life. Fearing God and keeping His commandments. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Number 9, thanksgiving should be expressed to God every day for what? Well, for many things, but certainly for victory that we have in Christ. Give thanks to God for the victory we have in Christ. Now, when we have in Christ, who is the we? We are New Testament Christians. We have the victory when we put on Christ in baptism. When we believe, repent, and confess, and are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for the remission of sins, that's what makes us we who can thank God for the victory that we have in Jesus. And all that victory is ultimately because of God's love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life, John 3 and in verse 16. And that word believes really goes back to what we see in other places like Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. It's not an acknowledgement of facts. Believes is with works. We see that in James chapter 2. And we see that here in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. For the grace of God that brings salvation, or for by God's grace you have been saved through what? Through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Not works of merit by which God owes us salvation. We couldn't be good enough for that. But works of obedience, that's what Philippians 2:12 says, work out your own salvation. We have that responsibility. Believing means to acknowledge the truth and to live in such a way as to demonstrate our belief in that truth. Thanksgiving, number 10, should be expressed to God for His instruction. for His instruction. His Word furnishes us, and it's inspired, it's infallible, it's inerrant, it's an authoritative instruction. It's given of inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 through 17. I said we talk about this. Thanksgiving should be expressed to those, expressed to God for what? For His nearness. For His nearness. This over here in Isaiah 55 and in verse 6. The prophet Isaiah penned these words through inspiration. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. That language tells us that there is a period of time in which we can seek Him. There is a period of time in which we can find Him while He is near. And the Scripture says, Luke through inspiration says, God is not far from each one of us. He's here. He's around us. He's shown Himself. He's manifested Himself. You can see that in Romans chapter 1 in verse 20. Just by the design, He's here, He's everywhere, and He wants to be found. But we have to find Him while He is near. Paul, while on Mars Hill, addressing those who were in religious error, encouraged the Athenians to find the Lord before it was everlasting too late. There's coming a day when He will not be near, when He cannot and will not be found. In John 8, verse 21, Jesus said, "You will seek Me and will die in your sin. And where I go, you cannot come." Those who die in sin cannot and will not go where Jesus is. Thanksgiving should be expressed to God for His great gift. For His great gift. He provides every good and perfect gift, James 1 verse 17, and like we said this morning, and like we've said in lessons and sermons repeatedly, let us always remember to thank God for the great gift of His love, John 3:16, and the fact that He demonstrated His great love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5 and in verse 8. Let us thank God for His great gift of His Son. John said this in 1 John 4, verses 9 and 10. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us. This is how it was made known, that God had sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We are to thank God for His great gift of His Word. And we are to thank God for His great gift of eternal salvation. What does Romans 6:23 says? Yes, it says, for the wages of sin is death. But what does it say? The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brethren and friends, it's a big word, right? Thanksgiving. And there's a lot of good scripture. And we could be here for hours expressing the things for which we can be grateful for, the things we ought to be grateful for. And may we not take His bountiful blessings that are continually bestowed upon us for granted. No, not one. It's our fervent prayer that each and every one of us, if opportunity avails and we're able to spend the holiday with family and friends, that you have a fun and you have a safe holiday. But when friends and family are together, it's always an occasion to be thankful. Let's be thankful for everything. This time we extend the invitation to those in this assembly. Brethren and friends, if you have a need of any kind, this is an opportunity that we typically extend because it's a time of convenience. We're here. And if you are ready to put on Christ in baptism, why not now? The baptistry is ready. There's clothes back there. And if you're ready to put on Christ in baptism, we stand ready to assist you. If you are in Christ, you've been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for the remission of sins, but you strayed from the faith, you're lost, repent, be restored, walk out the doors of this building right and ready for our Lord's return. Brethren and friends, if you have a need of any kind, we encourage you to come forward as together we stand and together we sing.